All right, everybody, it's Cheapy D from the show.
Oh, this show has gone off the rails already. Welcome to CADcast number 197. I am your host, Wombat from Massapequa. I am joined, as always, by my wonderful co-host, Cheapy D, live in Tokyo, Japan.
I can't do this. I gotta leave.
I guess I'll do a show with Shipwreck then.
This is like the sixth time we've tried to start the show with various technical difficulties and general depression. It's going to be very difficult to get through this show, but we will do our best, right? Or
I'm here, I'm chipper. I'm ready to go.
I'm ready. I'm here.
Maybe it won't be our best, but it will be something.
Well, let's just get right into it. Oh, and we should introduce Shipwreck. Say hi to everyone, Shipwreck.
I'm here. I'm Shipwreck.
Excellent. Excellent. Even better. Cheapy, why are you so depressed?
Well, first of all, we started recording the show about six different times and had to restart it six different times. And that's always a good time.
And especially, it was all our fault at least once.
Right. Well, except Shipwreck.
No, he was one. He was the third time.
No. Yeah. Also, I just got news that basically, even though like the cheap-ass gamer iPhone app is almost completely done, I just found out that it might be very difficult for us to get Amazon data in there due to some licensing agreement issue that they have with letting mobile applications use their pricing data, which is a big bummer since Amazon is terribly important to anything that involves video game shopping. And the app is going to be really great, so I'm really bummed out about that, and I'm hoping that we can find some way around that or get their approval, which sounds like it might be impossible. And it just has me wondering, like, do you even bother releasing an app about video game shopping without Amazon? It would be like Amazon didn't exist if you're on the iPhone app, which to me seems pretty awful and ridiculous. But
does Amazon have an iPhone app?
They do.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I don't, you know.
Yeah. They have their own first-party iPhone app, but they have some licensing thing where they just won't let you use their data feeds, basically, for anything that is intended for mobile use.
Which is
super crazy because every website, these days, with iPhones and smartphones, every website is intended for mobile use.
Now, so is there someone that you know that you could go to?
Yes, and I've been doing it, and this person is, you know, I don't blame this person. This person is really fighting for us, and, you know, obviously I love Amazon. Amazon's has won the best online game retailer 4 years in a row on Cheap Ass Gamer. The guy is really fighting for us, but it looks like it might just be an impossible hurdle. Which begs the question, do you even bother releasing an iPhone app about video game shopping if you can't mention Amazon? Or you can't, you know, have Amazon pricing data in there? It's a enigma wrapped in a riddle.
Yeah. They should really just realize that it's just going to make them money.
Of course.
Like, it's just going to make us buy more crap when we just have our iPhones with us.
I don't know. I spent a lot of time trying to get them to see it the way that I think makes just logical sense, and I don't know. I'll try not to let it bum me out for the rest of the show.
Do you have any poop stories? Maybe that'll cheer you up.
I just made a poop.
I was gonna say, I know you were pooping right before the show. That always makes you happy.
Yeah, it was nice, actually. I've been eating a lot of apples lately, trying to get everything more regular. So
that'll do it.
Yeah, it's been working out for me, I gotta say. And in other good news, Cheap Ass Gamer celebrated its 7th anniversary. So we started at the end of April 2003, and here we are in 2010.
That's pretty good. I hear a lot of .com businesses go out of business. So yes. Congratulations.
Right. We will not go out of business, even if the iPhone app is completely screwed up. It will not matter. But it is disappointing because Super Programmer John's been working so hard on it, and it looks awesome.
How about we put that to rest and keep going with the show?
Yes, we will do that. We did not do a show last week because I forgot. Why didn't we do a show last week?
It was a holiday in Japan.
Okay, right.
And I just got back from vacation and I had to do all sorts of stuff at home.
And we got the Halo Reach beta.
And we got the Halo Reach around.
Right. We had to take, we took a personal day, week. I don't know. It's been tough because this week it's Golden Week in Japan. So this is the first day that I've actually like been able to sit at my computer. Actually, I haven't been able to because it's in the morning now and I'm doing the show. But, you know, Mama and Ty have been home from their various works and schools, and Osaka Grandma was here. So I haven't been doing a lot of gaming or reading about gaming. So this show is going to be fantastic.
Well, really selling this pretty hard.
Yeah, I know. I was in Florida. That was exciting.
Right, you went to Disney.
I did. I went to Disney for a day. I live tweeted it for all those who follow me on Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun. Disney and Verizon have some sort of deal going on. So when you're like in the Magic Kingdom, your cell phone service is redunculous.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like you get, if you're on Verizon, which, you know, both the missus and I are, and her phone has a really nice Twitter app on it, so we just, I live tweeted the whole day because it was easy and fast.
Right.
So that was a good time, and then, you know, we went to my in-laws and sat by the pool, and that was that.
Sounds pretty good.
Then I came back to reality, which kind of sucks, but I did book my flight to E3, so that's now set in stone.
Right, and Shipwreck, you are booked?
I am booked. I'm ready to go.
We are totally booked. Everybody's booked.
We are all booked, and the Ryan Davis over at Giant Bomb has challenged us. He says that where he's staying is nicer than where we're staying, so we got to show him up when we get there.
Where is he staying?
I don't know. He hasn't told me. So,
how do you have contact with him?
Yeah, on the Twitter.
Oh, how does he know where we're staying?
He doesn't.
Oh,
we're just making assumptions.
Oh.
We'll find out when we get there now.
How did that conversation come to even happen?
Because he tweeted that he's staying in the nicest, that Giant Bomb is staying at the nicest place during E3. And I said, I wouldn't be so sure about that. And he said, I consider that a challenge and not so many words. And I said,
I'll tell you, there's the two nicest places are the Marriott, the JW Marriott that just opened up, and I think it's a Ritz-Carlton. It's all in the same building, actually. So those would be the two nicest places. Maybe he's being sarcastic.
I don't know.
Maybe he's staying in somebody's house.
We'll find out now, won't we?
Maybe he's staying in a van.
That would be awesome. I'd like to check that out.
I don't care. Our place is going to be pretty nice, and I'm not looking to compete with anybody with that.
Well, no. It's called a friendly competition.
Okay.
I'm not sure if you're familiar with being friendly with people. I know you try not to be.
I do a good job with that.
Yes, hostility is more your bag. But
I'm very hostile right now after getting this bad Amazon news and the fact that it's probably going to reach 80 degrees in my office while we're recording the show. I have a towel here on standby just to wipe the sweat off my head.
Well, is it still Cinco de Mayo by you or no? Not anymore, right?
No, it's Seis de Mayo.
Well, nachos have chips and nachos have cheese.
I know. And they're ones with jalapenos are the ones that are ruling.
See, you feel better already.
I do feel a little bit better, I guess.
See, I'm here to help. I am what's known in the business as a good friend.
Thank you.
No problem.
What else? Let's do some show feedback, I guess, from show that we did like 2 weeks ago. We had Justin McElroy on, and I got to say, it was one of our most popular shows ever.
Yeah. Damn popular dude.
No Shipwreck and Justin equals popular.
He's already got two shows. I mean, I can have one.
Right.
You sort of have a third of a show.
See, there's three things that could have contributed to that show's popularity. One, No Shipwreck. Two, Justin McElroy. Or three, our podcast host switched to a new stats engine, so maybe it's all screwed up. Could be any combination.
I was going to say, it could be the combo platter as well.
Right. So, I don't know.
Which comes with an egg roll, so I'm going with that one.
Yes. Good choice. Let's do some... Oh, I do have some good news also that probably will amount to nothing, but it made me feel good, and it let me impress Osaka Grandma a little bit. I was interviewed by Fox Business. They're doing an article on small video game businesses that cater to an adult audience. So I was interviewed.
They have those in Japan, I'm assuming?
What?
Small video game businesses that cater to an adult audience?
It was Fox Business in America.
What are they talking about?
Like, I don't know. Adults would take advantage of it. Not like porn or anything.
Like Dave and Buster's or home.
Yeah.
Stuff.
Like something, okay. anything that involves games. So like I think they're doing a write up on Barcade, and I don't know if it was Barcade, but some video game bar in New York. I'm assuming it's Barcade. And me, G-Bass Gamer, and possibly something else. So I had my wife taking photographs. They asked me for some like photographs of me sitting in my office. So I had my wife, you know, taking pictures of me and Osaka Grandma. I was like, "What's going on?" And I'm like, "Oh, you know, going to be in Fox Business. Got to get some photos."
Did you mention the CADcast?
No, they didn't ask me about that.
You're worthless.
It's going to be one of these things that nobody ever sees, I'm sure.
Yeah. Never hurts.
You also have to keep in mind that I did this interview at like 1 o'clock in the morning because of the time differences and stuff. So I'm not exactly like, you know, on top of my game. So a lot of things may not make any sense.
As opposed to the first thing in the morning, like now.
When I'm really on top of my game. At least I'm sweaty. I got that going for me. I took my socks off because my feet were getting too wet. Anyway, let's go over some show feedback from that show from 3 months ago. Wombat, take it away.
Sure. This was from Banodyne, but it was really the cusp of last show. Great discussion about the ethics of these paid junkets. It's one thing to go to a party and have a few drinks and finger food. It's another when they pay to fly you out to Hawaii. Cheapy's right when he says that consumers ultimately pay for this, especially when you consider the questionable DLC Capcom charged customers within 2009. At the very least, the press should note that they were flown out to this event in their previews.
Right. It was actually Justin who mentioned that the consumers are the ones who ultimately pay for it. Yeah, that would be a good idea. Like, if you see every preview that's written about a Capcom game, it should say on the bottom in little print, Capcom flew us out to Hawaii to look at this game. It was a very nice trip.
Yeah, I'll say this also. If Marvel vs. Capcom 3 comes out and the majority of costumes are DLC, I will not buy the game. I think comic book fans are a little more fickle than fighting game fans. I don't know. Maybe I'm making this up. But I think that they'll see... I think it'll hurt them if they do that with that game.
There's currently $28 worth of DLC costumes for Street Fighter 4.
That's insane.
$28. Yeah, it's pretty bad. Well, and speaking of junkets, Shipwreck went on a junket, and you're going to be hearing about that later in the show. And I just want Shipwreck to talk about, like, I don't even care if he talks about the game. I just want to hear, like, how big the stake was.
We'll get to that.
We'll get to that later.
That's part of it. Yeah, that's part of the coverage.
It's pound for pound if he had more steak than I had lobster on my birthday.
Right. Yes. That's always the most interesting part of these junkets to me is, like, you know, what went on besides looking at a video game in a room somewhere.
Yes.
Go continue on that, please.
Sure. Razwell said, Justin was a fantastic addition to the show. Justin should definitely be on the CADcast more often. Not only was he hilarious, but the chemistry between Cheapy, Wombat, and Justin was amazing. This was definitely the funniest and most enjoyable CADcast that I have listened to for a long while now. I agree.
Did you let Justin pick out these comments? What is this?
Well, no. See, I picked that one also because there were a lot of people that didn't like Justin.
Right.
But I like to stay positive
for the record,
about our guests.
I like Justin. So.
Yes.
Yeah, I do too. That's why I asked him to come on. I know Justin listens to the CADcast, and I thought it would be a good match. I know he's, you know, very entertaining as well. So I thought he'd be a good fill-in for Shipwreck.
Yeah, he's good people.
A lot of people really hated him. A lot of people, you didn't put any of the good ones on that were talking about his voice.
Well, that's because I'm not a jerk. We had a guest in our home. I'm right. Nice to the guests in our home.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. See, that's why. Hit and run. Man, what's with all the Justin hate? Can't you see that he's the best thing that happened to this podcast? All Cheapy ever talks about is poop kids in Japan. Wombat actually recommends the TV show Bones. Bones. I wanted to bring up this comment because, yes, I love the show Bones. I make no bones about it.
Oh, God.
And now it's timely also because the star of Bones admitted this week that he cheats on his wife. So he's boning someone else.
Right. I was just waiting for that.
Yep. What a boner.
Right. All right.
And it, yes, and Curfew Wine says, no offense, but I'd trust Cheapy's opinions on shampoo more than I would his opinions on action games.
Where does that come from?
What did you say you didn't like? Bayonetta, maybe?
Oh, maybe it was.
Yeah.
If there's any genre that you should trust my opinion on, it's action games. I could understand if you said that you wouldn't trust my opinion about Japanese role-playing games, or, you know, like Nintendo games. Actually, you should trust my opinion on Nintendo games, but Japanese role-playing games for sure. But action games, that's my bread and butter.
I don't know. If you were playing a Japanese role-playing game and you told me that you loved it, I would want to play it.
Okay, that's true. But you should trust my opinion on everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not shampoo, though.
No. Well, whatever. Shipwreck's opinion is worthless. He gets paid for his reviews, so who cares?
I do. Should we get into that? Are we into the
let's talk about that. Speaking of getting paid for reviews, how was your weekend?
My weekend was good. Are we doing new releases now, or are we doing my trip?
Let's do the new releases first.
New releases first. All right.
Yeah.
This week we have Iron Man 2 for everything.
Wait, I have a question about Iron Man 2. Is that movie out now?
It comes out on Friday, but a lot of
people... it came out today.
No, Friday, but I know a lot of people that have seen it.
Right. The word is that it's not as good as the first one, but it's still pretty good? Is that pretty much it?
Yeah, that's basically it. Like, it's a lot of fun and worth seeing. It's not as good as the first one, but the first one was amazing. Like, that movie's highly rewatchable, which I think is the big strength of the first Iron Man. Like,
I thought I needed more fighting.
Eh. Maybe. I mean, origin stories are always like that, though.
Right.
Well, Iron Man kind of has crappy villains to fight.
He does. He has, like, super crappy villains to fight.
Yeah, that's the problem with Iron Man. Like, he's just
too cool.
I was going to
say, can you name three great Iron Man villains? What do we got? Mandarin, who fights...
That's a great one?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. You know, Crimson Dynamo.
That one's kind of okay, I guess.
And AIM. I like AIM and Hydra, but that's also, I mean, those are more Avenger villains than... So there you go.
Yeah, well, Iron Man 2 the game has no co-op. So that kind of sucks because you can play as Iron Man or War Machine, but not with anybody else. But,
yeah, we were on the call. Chipwreck and I were on the developer call for this game together.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Before it came out, and we listened, and you could hear it in the voice of the guys having to talk about the game who probably no longer have jobs, although that wasn't brought up. They really could care less about this game.
Yeah, they brought up numerous times, like without people saying anything about it, that within the time limits was a popular quote they kept saying.
It's the best we could do.
Yeah.
Don't hate us.
Well, which I feel for them. I mean, I understand the pressures of getting out a on budget and on time with a movie release across all these different platforms. But I'm supposed to be getting this game in to play, so I'll talk about it next week, I'm sure. But I'm not all that high hope for it, that's for sure.
No, it's probably terrible, but what's sad about it is there really is potential for an Iron Man game. I mean, it has everything going for it. He can fly, he can walk, he can shoot from every orifice. Super strength.
Right.
Yeah. Should be like, the best mech game you've ever played, but not so
within
much.
Within the time constraints.
Yes, within the time allotted.
It was like every answer, too.
We wanted to make it good, but...
It seemed like they really wanted to make an open-world Iron Man game, because they brought that up a couple times, but this game definitely is not an open-world Iron Man game. It's just level by level.
The fake questions were just so insulting to our intelligence. It was like, so, you're making an Iron Man 2 game. Is Iron Man in this game?
Well, yeah, I don't know. I'll play it and let you guys know, but yeah, probably not all that great. Also, this week was Picross 3D for the DS. I like the 2D version of that, so I'm sure the 3D version's fun as well.
Mm-hmm.
Only $20 too. You have for the DS. You
think
you have
this
Dementium
one? Do you think
2?
This one will become rare like the current Picrosses?
Well, they re-released the current Picross, right?
Oh, they did.
An orange. Yeah, it's always bar at the top.
Yeah,
I don't
yeah.
think they did. They did that with Clubhouse games. But
I
don't think
that.
They did that with Picross now.
Oh, I might be thinking of Polarium.
Yeah, Polarium is a game that's like a nickel. But it's hard to find Picross.
Hmm.
And when you Who find knew? It, it's expensive.
Hmm. It's a good game. I mean, it's a lot of fun.
It is. I like that game.
Also, this week is Dementium 2 for the DS, the survival horror thing on the DS from South Peak. I don't know much about that, actually, but I know the first one was okay.
Did you get that yet?
Dementium 2?
Yeah.
No, I don't know that I asked for it.
Yeah, I would assume that your girlfriend would send it to you with, like, a box of chocolate.
We'll see.
Yeah.
I did get What Did I Do to Deserve This, My Lord 2 for the PSP, and I've been playing that. I don't know if you guys remember what that game is. It's kind of
Did they get sued by Warner Brothers or something?
They did. They had to change the name of it. I don't know all the details, but yeah, there was a copyright issue there, and so they changed the name of the first game. The first game's not even known as Holy Invasion of Privacy Bad Man anymore. But yeah, this is a kind of ecosystem dungeon arcade game where you have to protect the evil bad man from invading heroes by creating monsters. It's pretty much the same game as the first one, but if you're going to get one of them, definitely get the second one, 'cause it's a little bit more polished. It does have, I think there's some new monsters, or at least some ones that I never discovered in the first one. And it's a lot of trial and error still, so it takes up a good amount of time.
Is it like Dungeon Keeper for the PC?
Not really. It's all 2D, and you have a pickaxe, and you just hit away at the blocks, and depending on what proteins are in the block, it spits out different monsters, and then they eat each other, and then it creates new monsters. And it kind of like, you kind of dig your path, and then let the dungeon do itself.
Thrilling.
It's very hard to understand or explain. Right. For download this week, well, I guess Fat Princess Fistful of Cake came out for the PSP as well. But, yeah.
Nobody cares about that.
Nobody. I can't imagine that being better than the console version. Like,
the console version's kind of boring, too.
Yeah.
I wonder if anybody's actually playing that now.
I'm sure somebody is.
Mm-hmm.
But not me.
Right.
For Xbox Live Arcade, the Raystorm HD came out, and Xenoclash Ultimate Edition also came out, which I'll probably check out Xenoclash just because it's so crazy looking.
Yeah, I downloaded the demo right before the show. I haven't had a chance to play it yet, though.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to play the demo, but this is that first-person brawler with really bizarre creatures that you're fighting against.
And it's from Atlus, right?
Atlus is publishing this version of it. It came out on PC before, and it was like from a independent developer and publisher, I believe.
Hmm. I don't know anything about this game. I never even heard of it.
Oh, it's
really
messed up. You should watch the trailer.
Up, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a first-person like fighting game?
Yeah.
Yes.
You punch a lot of dudes in the face.
Oh, wow. Look at that. Yeah.
And it's huge. It's 1.5 gigs.
Interesting. I'll check out the demo.
Yeah.
I think that's about it for new releases.
Excellent. All right, then. In that case, we will move on to some shopping and CAG news. I guess we'll start with the shopping news. If you're looking to pick up Red Dead Redemption, Amazon is giving you a $20 credit for future gaming purchases if you buy it with them, which is a pretty great deal. And they've got a ton of these credit deals, including, you know, Halo Reach comes with a $20 credit. Madden comes with a $20 credit. Super Mario Galaxy 2 and Tiger Woods 2011, all $20 credits. And there's a whole bunch of $10 credits as well. Also, over at Kmart, believe it or not, Kmart has deals now. We even
there's
have
still a Kmart.
What?
There's still a Kmart.
There's still a Kmart, yeah. Not only is there a Kmart, we have the guy who's the video game buyer for Kmart posting on KAG. He's posting the deals personally on KAG. So this week until May 10th, there's a lot of games that have been marked down to $30, including Final Fantasy 13, Bayonetta, Alien vs. Predator, Modern Warfare 2, Darksiders, and Metro 2033. Nier is $45, but I don't think...
Definitely get
that.
Metro 2033 for $30.
Yeah, I like that game a lot. Yeah,
I'm kind of interested in Darksiders, personally.
You would like Darksiders.
I know, that's why I'm interested in it. You see
that's
how that
your
works?
Kind of game. Yeah, that's your kind of game. And also, ending on May 8th, if you buy Halo Legends for $10, you can get $15 off coupon for towards Halo Reach. So, and Halo ODST is $30. So, yeah, some deals from Kmart, which is nice. Let's see what else. Some KAG news. We have a contest going on to celebrate us inevitably hitting the 500,000 game mark in the KAG collection system. And when we do hit that 500,000 mark, we're going to give away $500 to a lucky KAG. If you just go to the contest section that you can see in that navigation bar on KAG, you'll be able to find out the details on the contest. I'll tell you right now, we are at 465,776 games in the collection system. So 35,000 to go, and then somebody will win. What a contest. What a country. let's see. Anything else in KAG news?
I don't know. What's your website?
I think that's it for now. Besides the KAG app getting rocked, which we talked about.
Did we talk about that?
I don't even know. We recorded the intro to the show so many times.
I think we did. I think we mentioned it enough.
Okay, good. Let's give you some coupon codes for our friends over at GoDaddy.com, where you can register domain names very cheap, or you can get hosting very cheap. 10% off any order, coupon code CAG10, $5 off a $30 order, CAG5 off 30, and $6.95 domain registrations. Use coupon code CAGDOMAIN at GoDaddy.com. Ka-chow! I've been watching a lot of Cars, that Pixar movie Cars. Ty likes it a lot.
Yeah. So, have you seen, there's an article, actually it was put up on crack.com today, where they talk about the worst ripoffs of Disney movies, and there's two Cars ripoff movies, which are terrible. You should check them out on the YouTube.
What are they called?
I don't know. Read the article on crack.com, where it was put up today.
I've watched Cars so many times and Toy Story 1 and 2 so many times because Ty just loves them that I don't think I could watch a ripoff one.
Do you ever? You don't have like a quick view on those?
What do you mean?
Certain Disney DVDs have an option for quick view where it shows the movie cut down to 45 minutes as opposed to the full length film.
That doesn't help me any. Why would that help me? It's still watching it.
Because you're only watching 45 minutes as opposed to 2 hours.
No, he never lasts through the whole thing anyway. He probably lasts about 45 minutes.
That's the point. Most kids don't last the whole.
Right. Well, what do I care if he watches the whole movie or not? He could watch the same 5 minutes 10 times in a row. I don't care. What do I care?
You're a good dad.
I mean, he's missing out on some sort of great knowledge.
Yep.
Is there some real lesson to be learned by the end of the movie that a 2.5-year-old is going to pick up on?
He doesn't hear the Randy Newman song nearly enough.
Right. So, I don't know. They're pretty good movies. Okay. So, I think now's a good time for us to talk about Shipwreck's Skate 3 junket that took place in Vancouver, Canada.
Yes. EA was nice enough to fly me out there to take a look at the game.
I want to hear step by step exactly what this junket entailed.
Take it away.
Okay. All right. I had to get up at 3:30 in the morning to meet my 6 a.m. flight that took me to Chicago. And then from there, I took the flight over to Vancouver and got there about noon. and we got into the hotel. The hotel is really nice. It was the Delta in Burnaby, and it had a casino attached to it and everything. But the casino, apparently in Canada, at least in Vancouver, they don't provide you with booze while you're gambling. So that's like the whole reason I even go to a casino and
free
gamble
booze.
Is for the free booze. Just because I don't like losing money. Like, I don't like going in and knowing I'm going to lose money. So I didn't gamble at all. I did partake in some of their pay-to-play booze, but that was about it. All I did in the casino, and I went to this really fancy McDonald's. That was the first stop I made. It made sense. Really, the hotel was out in the middle of nowhere. We weren't really downtown Vancouver. So we were out near the EA campus.
I see. So you didn't make it to the New Amsterdam Cafe?
No, we went downtown on the second day. The first day was really, there wasn't much planned, so I just went out to McDonald's and then met with some of the EA folk and some of the other journalists to have dinner at the hotel restaurant. So not much happened the first day.
Mm-hmm.
Second day, got up early, like around 9 o'clock or so. We went over to the EA campus. It was like 5 minutes away. That place is big. It's definitely one of those modern workplaces that you assume is like Google and like all these high-tech companies.
People have their pets running around and they're getting massages.
Yes.
And stuff.
Yep, there were pets.
People
there
have hammocks.
Running around. I did not see any hammocks, but I
because you could
would
pick those up in the hammock district.
Is that a Simpsons reference?
That was a Simpsons reference.
It had to be because, yeah, I didn't get that.
Foosball?
Yes, there was foosball. There were a whole bunch of arcade machines. Full-size indoor basketball court, NBA regulation size. Outdoor full-size basketball court. Full-size soccer field. Beach volleyball. A huge gym area. Pilates classes.
Glory holes?
Yeah, those were all over the place. Like, you couldn't take two steps without coming across a EA glory hole.
And they're branded, by the way. They say EA glory hole on
right.
them.
Yeah, like, they'd have to somehow figure out how to put EA into glory hole.
And isn't there an announcer? You put your penis in, and it says, EA glory hole. Put your dick in.
Yeah, that was there.
It's in the hole.
It's in the hole. It's in the hole.
But they have beer on tap. They have what else do they have there? They took us by where they do all the sound recording for all the games.
Mm-hmm.
They showed us the doors to where the motion capture is done for the sports games. But apparently that's a pretty high security area, so we didn't get to go in there. Mm-hmm. We toured the Black Box studio, which. That part of it just looks like it's basically cubicles and desks and stuff in there. I don't know. It's just very there's TV screens everywhere.
It's a nice office, is what you're trying to say.
It's a really nice office. Like, you can see why people would want to work there. So after we took the tour, we went back. Oh, they took me by their technical information center too, which is where they keep all their reference library of games and movies and. It's just like this huge room, just shelves and shelves of games.
So when they want to like see what Tony Hawk 3 had, they
right.
can just pull that
yeah,
out.
Yeah, they have like all of the EA games and then any of their competitor games there as well. So we had breakfast. It was from one of their cafeterias, I'm assuming. It was just like these breakfast burritos that had hash browns and eggs and sausage and everything. Those were pretty good. I liked those.
Breakfast burritos. You know, I can get a breakfast burrito here, but it costs like $25.
This was free.
Yeah, that's good.
Yes.
I
like that too. And then we went into one of their tester rooms, which had a whole bunch of stations set up and like a one-way mirror so they could spy on their testers, I guess, while they were playing. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
But we were in tester room alpha. There was an alpha and beta room. So
right.
We went in there and we listened to the spiel about what makes this skate 3 different than the other skates. And they showed us some videos and stuff. And then we got to play the game for about 5 hours.
Oh my God, I'd just kill myself.
No, I liked it. It was good.
Well, I know it's good, but like I don't want to play anything for 5 hours in a row.
Well, during that time, you could get up and
they let you get up.
Yeah, like they didn't have us strapped down to the chairs with our eyes propped open or anything.
Did they at least have like pizza and caffeine?
Yeah, they had sandwiches and stuff that you could go and eat and desserts and drinks and stuff while you were playing. And they let us play the like campaign for a while, just single player, just to get the hang of stuff. And it's good. I mean, it's definitely. For me, it's easier to control than the past skates because you can change the camera angle to a more traditional Tony Hawk angle where you're kind of up and behind instead of down and below.
I played the demo, yeah. And one of the big things about skates being like it's got a more like cinematic camera angle. But so now you can change that.
Now you can change that, which is improves my playing a ton because I can actually kind of plan out what I'm going to do better.
Right.
So we played some single player, and then there was a bunch of competitions that were showing off the co-op stuff, which the co-op stuff's pretty neat because you can have people come into your game and play the challenges that are in the career mode along with you, and you both get credit for it in your career. Like the whole point of career is to get to sell merchandise, sell boards that you start up your company and you like start up a team and everything, and you just sell your merchandise, and that's how you progress the game. And I don't think there's any actually selling of the merchandise. That's just like the score or whatever. So you can invite people in and do co-op that way. And then there's a whole bunch of online modes, and all like the stuff where you can create your graphics, kind of like an Army of Two, too, and bring those in to the game. So you can make different tattoos and shirts and boards and all that stuff. So that stuff will look very cool. I don't know how much I'll use that because I'll use the co-op stuff. Are you going to get this game maybe GP or?
I've gotten the last two, so
yeah.
I
figured
maybe
you would get this one. It's not really Wombat's bag, I don't think.
Not really, no.
But yeah. So we put a bunch of the co-op stuff, and then we played some of the. It's got a Creative Park editor in there now, so you can make new parks and upload them, and people can download them and tweak them, and then you get board cells for that as well, so that can progress you. It's just got a lot of nice integration this time around, and it has the kind of silly stuff you saw in the video, the latest trailer. If you saw the zombies and stuff like that, that's just like codes and stuff you can put in. This is still like your typical skate experience.
How's the skateboard peripheral that you stand on?
Oh, excellent! No, they didn't have one. I think they have that there because they obviously have the Tony Hawk.
Do they just
skate.
Make fun? How much fun of Tony Hawk did the developers?
They didn't take any direct jabs at the Tony Hawk series. No. I didn't particularly bring up Tony Hawk while I was there, but
there's no picture of Tony Hawk's head like on the glory hole.
Maybe, that might have been in the motion capture studio there.
Right. That's why they don't want you to see that.
Yeah, exactly. But they have to be pleased with how this is all playing out. I mean,
it's amazing,
they're putting
isn't
out
it?
Great games, and the Tony Hawk series is just trash now.
Right. It's a joke.
Yeah. So after we got done, we did some interviews and that type of stuff. And then we went out to dinner. So that was the only time we really went to downtown Vancouver, and we went to the keg room.
It's a chain restaurant because I used to work for a Canadian company in Toronto, in the headquartered in Toronto, and we would go there every so often. And I remember going to the Keg like I don't know in 1998 or something.
Mm-hmm. And we had it's a steakhouse, so I had a nice filet mignon wrapped in bacon.
Yep.
And some appetizers and stuff and some alcoholic beverages, this really girly coffee drink for dessert. yeah. And, we watched the hockey game cause that was on TV as well. So I got to experience Canadian hockey.
Mm-hmm. And that was it. And then they fly home.
Yeah. I mean, then we went out to drinks afterwards, but I mean, that was all on my own dime there.
Right.
And, then I got up the next morning and flew home.
Sounds like a lot of work. Actually, traveling for not a lot.
It was still enjoyable. I mean,
sure.
I liked I really liked the tour of the studio. Like that was probably the primary reason that I was interested in taking the trip. Like I wanted to check out Skate 3 and everything, but it comes out next week.
yeah, it's pretty
like if that was the only reason we weren't going to, like if I was going to a hotel to play Skate 3 and not viewing their studio and everything and having to fly all the way to Vancouver just to play it in a hotel, I would have probably said, maybe next time, guys.
Right.
But it's interesting to look at their studios and everything and see how they work and all that stuff.
Sure. So. It sounds good. All right. Well, thanks for the wrap up.
You're welcome.
Hooray. Wombat's still alive?
Yeah, I'm here. I was listening. I was enthralled.
You were masturbating to the thought of the glory holes, weren't you?
A little bit, yeah.
You just wrote a letter to them to see if you could be one of the people inside the glory hall.
That right? is my, yes. I'm like, hey, I heard you're hiring.
I'll wear a Tony Hawk mask.
I'll bring my own water.
Excellent.
Gotta All stay right, moist.
Well, let's
move
on.
The game looks solid, definitely.
Though. Yeah, like, I mean, the demo's out, I'm sure it's on PlayStation also. I mean, it was on Xbox.
I think it is.
Sure,
check
why
it
not?
Out. It seemed,
I played primarily the PS3 version while I was there, but I did play both versions. And the between the two versions, I would say that the 360 version maybe ran a little bit smoother, but the PS3 version looked a little bit crisper.
Okay.
So that was the there only difference is. I really saw between the two.
All right, well, let's move on to some multi-platforming, Wombat's news and stuff, et cetera, et cetera. While we were on hiatus, Bungie signed a 10-year exclusive Activision deal. So what does that mean exactly?
What that means exactly is very similar to the deal that Respawn signed with EA, where Bungie will keep all their intellectual properties, but Activision will act as the publisher, and there will be a sharing of profits.
Understood,
For one IP.
For one IP.
Oh, only one?
Yes, for their new IP. It's for the but they went out and said that that's pretty much all they're going to be doing. Like they're going to have
over the next 10 years.
Yeah, I mean they're not the kind of studio that works a whole lot of different projects at the same time.
I see. Interesting. Okay. So they want the money. Show me the money. Well, who doesn't?
You know, it's more about where's the money. It's a very interesting deal. This is something that Activision isn't quite known for doing. It's the exact opposite of the Infinity Ward deal. But then again, you know, well, I guess the question is Bungie better than Infinity Ward? And that's a debate that people could have forever, I guess, if they really wanted to. But, yeah, it's definitely interesting, and I'm very interested to see how it pans out. I'm hoping that this Bungie IP is good.
Yeah, sure. Who isn't? Yeah.
But because it's not Halo.
Right. Will not be Halo.
And is that going to sell games? I mean, is the, you know, a new IP from Bungie means a lot to us, but what does it mean to someone, you know, off the street?
Nothing, I would imagine. Unless the game turns out to be, like, exceptional. I don't think...
Well, I think this is a little bit different than the Respawn deal, though, because Respawn's a totally new company. I do think Bungie has done a pretty good job at getting their name out there on the Halo games. I mean, you boot up a Halo game, and you see the big Bungie logo every time. And it's always in the menus. It always says Bungie down in the corners or somewhere on the menus when you're in the multiplayer.
And what they also did that was really smart is if you want to go online and check out your stats in Halo, the website you go to is Bungie.net.
Right.
So
I think people know Bungie pretty well. Yeah. Not as well as Halo, obviously, but
well
they can
enough.
From the makers of Halo here on this.
All right. Sounds good. Cursor writes in, wants to know if we agree with this analysis. Activision has a history of doing a great job of rolling out games, but their weakness is that they seem to only look to next quarter's profits. They have turned games like Guitar Hero and Call of Duty into cash cows rather than good games which protect their IP's value over the long term. And Bungie's done a very good job with their IP. By retaining control of it, they seem to leverage Activision's strengths while avoiding their weaknesses. But that doesn't, you know... certainly Activision could do the same thing to whatever Bungie's new IP is that they've done with Guitar Hero and have a new one come out every,
well, they can't.
Know, 6 months.
They can't, because that's not what Activision's role in this. Activision's role is strictly as an basically an outside publisher.
I see. Only Bungie is going to be making the game.
Only Bungie is making this. They own this IP. Oh, this is a Bungie-owned intellectual property. So this is Bungie's game. Activision is just publishing it and probably helping with some fundage, but that's it.
Okay. So then, yes, Cursor, I think I agree with your analysis.
Go ahead.
I don't know. I felt sick when I read this news the first time still. And I'm still
It doesn't bother me. I don't think it's a problem at all. I think this is, if successful, could be exactly what Activision needs to start doing. I mean, there's been a big shift lately. I mean, you could look at, if you want to use the movie parallel, right? You know, video games for a very long time have lived within the studio system, where developers have been part of the publisher, and the publisher owned everything, and developers worked where the publisher sent them. But now that shift is slowly changing, where the developers becoming the owner of their IP. Now, there is a flip side to that also. There's the contractual worker, you know, aspect of it also, where once a game is finished, you no longer have a job. There are two sides to this coin. Yes, the developer is going to have more control, but once that game is finished, where do the workers go? That's the other thing, which is also similar to what happened with movies. In the 70s, when the studio system officially collapsed, you had a lot of outside companies, you know, like, you know, The Godfather was, who released The Godfather?
Paramount
released The Godfather under Zoetrope, right? Was it under Zoetrope at that point?
I have no idea even what you're talking about.
Okay, but
Zoetrope.
I saw it. It was a good movie.
Francis Ford Coppola's production company.
Oh, okay.
So it's, you know, these people made this movie. They had control. Yes, the studio had input and a lot of it. But that ushered in that age, the end of the studio system age that, you know, a lot of people consider the 70s the golden age of film, where the studio system collapsed. And you have the, you know, the rise of the auteur, you know, the Stanley Kubricks and the Coppolas and then the Spielbergs and the Polanskis and so on and so forth, where that's what we may be on the dawn of with the video games, where EA making this deal with Respawn and Activision making this deal with Bungie, and in smaller studios taking more interest in their own games like THQ. It's a different approach that may wind up ushering in this golden age of gaming like it did for films in the 70s.
And that the publishers are really just tasked with putting the disc into a box and wrapping it up and shipping it off to retailers and marketing the game.
And marketing it, yes. And that's what's important.
Not trying to put out a new version of the game every, you know, 6 to 12 months just because it will make money.
Yes, Universal lets Steven Spielberg make the giant shark movie he wants to make, and when it's done, they send it out and it makes money for everybody.
Right. Okay. We'll see.
Yeah. You know,
it sounds like rainbows and sunshine, but
it does sound like rainbows and sunshine.
I'm concerned. I'm still concerned that something's going to go wrong here, and Bungie's going to get screwed.
Bungie's going to get screwed.
And I just really simplified something that's incredibly complicated. So people that are already mad at me saying I missed details, it's like, you know.
I don't even think you simplified it. What do you think of that?
But, you know, I do have a degree damn it.
Hopefully it works out well for both companies and nobody screws each other. But I don't know. It just makes me nervous.
I don't think you have anything to be nervous about if they're following the model that it looks like they're following.
Right. No, if they're following the model it looks like they're following, I don't think there's much to be nervous there, except maybe it being successful and Activision trying to take over Bungie in one way or another. But
Bungie still controls that, and what really is happening is that it's becoming more about the people than it is becoming about the company name.
For a select few.
I mean, but then
you've
again,
gotta have one of these. Not every director is
Martin Scorsese either.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the same thing.
All right. Should we move on?
Yeah.
Excellent. Let's move on to some multi-platforming stuff. Shipwreck, you played Dead to Rights Retribution.
I did. Did you guys play the old games at all?
Nope.
Really? You never played Dead to Rights?
Nope.
Nope.
Wow. Cheapy.
I don't play shit.
The first one was not shit. The first Dead to Rights was a really good game. And it's very, very up your alley, Cheapy. Like, it's just like dumb fun with...
Yeah, I like dumb fun. And,
yeah. Well, this one, the last two Dead to Rights, not so much. This one, it's pretty good. I have a review that's done and will be going up probably the same day as this CADcast. But I compare it to maybe if you stuck the Punisher into the 50 Cent game. It's kind of almost got that kind of vibe to it, to where you just go around and you just kill a lot of dudes. And there's a bunch of stupid stuff happening. It doesn't all make sense. It replaced the exploding ramps with a dog that has stealth abilities that you play as. And that's pretty much what you have with Dead to Rights Retribution. The dog stuff is... this dog is smart enough to muffle his bark when you're controlling him to lure people over and then tear their nuts off.
You can tear nuts off?
Yes, you can definitely tear nuts off. Wow. Well, it's pretty bloody once he gets done with it, so I don't know if you could find the nuts, but...
Sounds like the name of a Russian gangster.
Tear the nuts off?
Tear nuts off.
Yeah, I would definitely recommend it for maybe around $20 or a rental. Like, as a rental, it's perfect. It's 8 hours. There's no multiplayer. You can get through it relatively easily. It never feels boring because you're constantly mixing up between hand-to-hand combat and like Gears of War style cover-based shooting and the dog stealth missions. So for what it is, it's very good.
Dude, mail it to me.
All right, maybe I will.
I mean...
I can just give it to you when you come to E3. Or I can mail it to you.
Or I can just order it.
You can mail it to him the same day you mail me Alan Wake.
I'm still playing that. I'm also playing Record of Agorast War,
mm-hmm.
which is a strategy RPG for the 360 and the PS3. This is the one, I'm sure you guys have seen, this is the one that comes with the boobs mouse pad and the pillowcase with the girl on it.
And some of the stores won't carry it, right?
Yeah, right. It's really just it's like Disgaea or Final Fantasy Tactics. It's a strategy RPG where you move guys around a grid and you battle each other. I'm only about an hour in, and I'm on the PS3
version.
How
many different types of characters are there?
I'm only about an hour in, so I don't know. So far, I have like five or six people in my group, and there's
like those kind of games.
There's probably four different classes, I would guess, that I've found so far. But you can, nice. It's got multiple generations, so your characters from this time you can romance. There's like a romance part of it, and have like offspring, and then those are the next group of people you play as, and it goes through that like five times. You might want to get the 360 version because it's only downloadable on the PS3 and it's a 9 gig download.
What do you mean it's only downloadable?
Ugh. They didn't come out with a disc version of it.
What?
For the PS3.
What the hell?
It's because they didn't translate the dialogue into English. It's only subtitles, plus factor in the kind of PS2 style of 2D sprite graphics, and Sony said, no, we don't want to publish this on a Blu-ray in the US.
Oh, wow.
They've done similar things to other games, like Battle Fantasia was the same thing. It was a retail release on 360, PSN on PS3.
That's pretty interesting.
But this thing is 9 gigs. It takes up 9 gigs out of my 60-gig drive, so I had to delete a whole bunch of stuff because it takes 18 gigs to download it. Because it has to have room to copy itself to install. So
sounds like a really well thought out system.
Yeah, it's not Axis's fault at all. Other than I don't fault them for not translating everything into English. It's fine the way Japanese voices and English text is fine. So they're kind of had their hands tied. It's either release it this way or not release it at all on the PS3.
Right.
But it seems good so far. I mean, it's very much a strategy game. So
cool.
Took me 5.5 hours to download it.
Convenient.
Yeah. Super.
Super convenient. All right. I picked up Super Street Fighter 4. But I have to say that I have not really played all that much of it. But the key points to take away here is that if you don't have the last one, you know, this game is only $39.99. That's the MSRP. You get, like, when you boot the game up and you go to the character select screen, it's like, wow, that's a lot of fighters to choose from because everybody is unlocked. You don't have to go through the torturous pain of going through and beating the game with all these different characters to unlock everybody like you did regular.
Am I the only person that finds that fun?
You wouldn't find it fun. Did you have Street Fighter 4?
No.
Yeah. The final boss in Street Fighter 4 is unbelievably cheap. So it would not be fun for you because you would spend hours just doing it with like one character. Trust me, there was nothing remotely fun about it. In fact, I believe they turned down the difficulty on that guy, on Seth, in this version. But like I was saying, it's just amazing that the character selection options that you have. I've checked out some of the new dudes. There's a guy, Hacken, who like rubs oil all over himself and slides around. And that's, you know, I haven't really played all that much of it because, you know, my whole family's been home this week, so... I don't know. I'm going to play some more of it. It looks like they've done a lot to improve the online stuff as well. And I did get a free costume pack from buying it from Amazon Japan. So I got that going for me. But I don't know. That's it. It's a good game. It's a good fighting game. That's all I got to say about it. Also, it was announced that Red Dead Redemption, which is coming out on May 18th, is going to get a free DLC co-op mission pack. Which is good. Free DLC is good. We like that. And this gives me an excuse to talk about something that's been raging through the internet like a weed. Maybe not raging, but making its way. In the big thread about the Amazon deal, I posted something that I found out through somebody. People were discussing in the thread. They're saying, which version do I get, the PS3 version or the 360 version? So I posted in the thread that I heard from somebody who's seen it firsthand that the 360 version is the superior version. And little did I know, just posting this in the middle of a huge thread about, you know, basically the Amazon deal, that it spread to basically like every major site's forums. Because, you know, I get those Google alerts, so I'm getting, you know, IGN, GameFAQs, Game Trailers, NeoGAF. You know, they're all coming in through Google alerts. CheapyD says PS3 version of Red Dead Redemption is inferior. And it started like a shitstorm. People like, you know, CheapyD gets money from Microsoft. He's paid off by Microsoft to say these things. And, you know, it made me regret, like, even mentioning
Wait a minute, you're getting money from Microsoft?
Yeah. I don't even get review copies of games from Microsoft. I don't even get an invitation to their press conference, but yes, I receive checks from them. I don't receive the stuff that costs them nothing. I only receive money directly from Microsoft. So, I don't know. It made me regret even mentioning it, but I was trying to help people out and just, you know, tell people what I heard. And the source that told me is somebody who I know who would know this type of thing and has seen the game firsthand and played the game. You know, they could have fixed it since he's played it. I don't know. They certainly could fix it after it comes out. I have no idea, but I thought I would tell you what I heard since it was from a reliable source. And, you know, hey, hopefully he's wrong. Hopefully they fixed it and it's great on both systems. I don't care what system it's better on. I'm just trying to help people out. That's all.
So you're saying I should get it on the 360?
Yes, I bought it on the 360. I would have bought it on the 360 anyway, quite frankly.
Yes, so, we all know that.
I mean, I like the controller better, and it has a multiplayer mode, and so to me, that says 360. But
you're allowed to have a console preference. I mean, it's not...
Of course.
It's not fanboyism all the time. It's
but,
Right. Everybody has a console that they like at least a little bit better than the other one.
Of course. And in this particular case, it has nothing to do with console preference. It's this guy told me to avoid the PS3 version if I have a choice.
Right. That fanboy told you that. And that's okay. He's allowed to have his opinion.
Right.
And you're allowed
to spread
that
on
the internet.
I'll tell you who it is after the show because I don't want to get into trouble.
Oh, I know who it is.
You don't know. Oh, did I tell you already? Or you're just guessing?
No, I know who it is.
Oh, right. I told you. Right. So obviously you know that it's not a fanboy thing. But anyway, it is what it is. Whatever.
I could probably guess then.
You don't know. You wouldn't. You don't even know this person exists.
Well, excuse me.
John Snow.
Okay. Right. John Snow. It was John Snow. Anyway, I'm looking forward to the game. I ordered it. Anything else we need to talk about in this section? Should we just move on to?
Well, I put a couple of things on there, but
you
if you want to skip my stuff, yeah.
What did I see? What did I miss here?
There was this. Now, did you hear about this? So Dan Amrich, who's basically the Major Nelson for Activision,
okay,
made a comment on the Facebook page for Activision about Respawn. And where the bonuses are going?
Oh, I vaguely remember this. Okay, go on.
Well, he was just talking as a person, but not, you know, yes, he has an official job as the community manager, but he didn't really know the information. He was just making an assumption and, you know, carrying on a conversation. He didn't expect his little off-the-cuff statement to be picked up by every major outlet.
Duh, he can't be doing stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a community manager, that's your personality. Like, that's, you don't get it off time from that.
Of course. And people, the reason why people follow him on, friend him on Facebook and follow him on Twitter is not because he's, you know, a charming personality, which he may very well be. I don't know anything about the guy. But it's because he's associated with a company like Activision. It's like to say, you know, people, you know, Major Nelson has 100,000 followers on Twitter, not because he's a great guy, which, you know, he very well might be. I don't know him that well. I mean, he's always been nice to me. But it's because he works for Microsoft, and he gets information from Microsoft, and people follow him to hear Microsoft stuff from the source.
And basically, there's an article on GamePro that goes into it a little deeper about the community manager and how important they are, and is it really changing the face of game and what a community manager does. And I thought it was an interesting article. And that was really it. And they talk about Major Nelson, too, of course.
GamePro's been putting out some good stuff lately. I mean, at least on the website. I don't know about the print version, but some stuff that is sort of outside the preview review formula that you normally see.
Yeah, definitely good stuff.
Okay, anything else?
Well, this is something I had a conversation with. Actually, I tasked our last guest, Justin McElroy, to help me out with this because I don't have any real connections. Right. A couple of weeks ago, Warner Brothers bought an MMO developer, Turbine. Which, for the most part, really, who cares? At least, you know, as far as the three of us go. It's not something that really interests us. Okay. But here's what I thought was interesting about it. Warner Brothers has, you know, recently really kind of put their stuff, trying to really encapsulate all their stuff. They bought a lot of those Midway properties, and they now hold the rights, I believe, hold the rights to most of their DC stuff, especially since, you know, Mortal Kombat versus DC, they own Mortal Kombat now.
Mm-hmm.
And Warner Brothers owns DC. Now, do we remember the DC Universe MMO that Sony was making?
Yeah.
Sure. I played it.
Yeah, me too. When was the last time you heard anything about that?
Never. Not
last,
for a long time.
Last E3, I think.
That's a long time ago. That's almost a year ago. That we haven't heard a thing about this game in a year that at one point was playable. And now Warner Brothers has bought their own MMO studio. Do we think DC Universe is ever coming out?
Well, the agency just had a Facebook game come out, which the agency is the other one that's being their MMO at Sony. And that one I hadn't heard anything for about in a long time. So I was surprised to see a press release about that today. So, maybe.
I mean, how long do you think the license was for that? I mean, I would assume that with an MMO, you have to have a license agreement that's a long time.
Right.
But
the real question is can you make an MMO for on a console and have it be successful? I mean, might be really.
And I think you can.
The DC one that I played was terrible. I mean, right. I played it at New York Comic Con. It was awful.
Mm.
So, I mean, I'm very interested to know, did they just kill it? Is Warner Brothers going to try and do it themselves now? So, there you go. It's just a little conspiracy theory, and I like to throw them out on the show. Maybe someone knows something I don't, and they'll email us and let us know.
All right.
Well, isn't
there you
it,
go.
Does Warner Brothers still have Lord of the Rings? Are they still...
They have Lord of the Rings, yeah. They have the Lord of the Rings book. Okay. And Turbine was making a Lord of the Rings MMO, I think, or they made.
Well, Turbine
made
the Lord of the Rings online, I believe. Yeah. That's where I know Turbine from.
Yes,
so.
And they are going to. Yeah, there is going to be. Yeah, that's what Turbine's for primarily. Yes, is for Lord of the Rings. But I just thought it was interesting that they're buying their own MMO company now, and we don't really know what's going on with what's really their biggest property, which would be DC, which at one point was in the hands of Sony.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they did kind of pull Batman back in, because the first Batman Arkham
first
Asylum
Batman was Square
Eidos.
And now and they took it back. They took back Batman. They took back Mortal Kombat versus DC, and they're really trying to take it back.
Well, they didn't take back Mortal Kombat versus DC. They bought Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat, which is even bigger, but they're really trying to. You know, Warner Brothers very smartly is trying to show the value of that DC Universe brand, which, let's face it, there is a ton of value to the DC Universe brand. There's billions of dollars worth of value to that brand.
Alrighty.
Yeah. Well,
food for thought.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's move on. Let's move on to Sony. Is this really an exciting piece of news here? PlayStation Store updates move to Tuesdays?
Wait a minute. Did you say Tuesday?
I don't know. I didn't put that on here. I finished God of War 3, finally. I liked it a lot. It was fun.
That's awesome. Want to move on to Microsoft now?
Sure. He's very angry. You finished it, Shep, right?
I did. I wrote a review for it.
Okay, let me ask you a question. I don't know. I mean, the story, who cares? So I don't know. If you're worried about a spoiler, then maybe you should hum to yourself and cover your ears for the next 30 seconds.
La, 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 la.
No, not you. Not you. Oh. Kratos is, like, mad at everybody, right? He's, like, pissed off at everybody, kills everybody, doesn't care, no sympathy for anybody.
Except for one person, yes.
And I have no idea why. It's not explained why he gives a shit about her. But he seems to be very emotionally attached to her, although they really don't do anything in the game.
I think you're supposed to think that connects him back to, like, his wife
his daughter,
and kid.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, but it's pretty shallow. I mean, they don't really earn that, the whole Pandora thing. It's more or less just like, he's angry. Oh, there's this girl that he doesn't want to kill. Right. Right after the girl that he just brutally murdered.
Yep.
So, yeah, I think that's the connection. But I don't play those games for story.
No.
I play those games to rip people's eyeballs out.
Yeah, and for that, it's excellent. Except for those falling and flying segments, you know, where you're doing, like, the avoid the girders, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Which there was one of them which took me quite a long time to get through. Because it was one of these segments that's just way too long and there's no checkpoints. Except for that, I really enjoy the game a lot. I think it's great. And I highly recommend, once you beat the game, you unlock a bunch of different videos, making of videos. I recommend you watch the voice work video. It was incredibly entertaining. Rip Torn is in it. Malcolm McDowell's in it. Kevin Sorbo. And yeah, it was really cool. You get to see the guy who does the voice of God of War, of Kratos. And it's not what you would expect. It's a very skinny black guy. He looks a little bit like the Chocolate Rain dude. Maybe not.
Who is the voice of Kratos?
Some black guy. I don't know. But he's amazing. He's angry, that Kratos. All right. Let's move on to Microsoft, because there's a topic I want to discuss here that might be interesting. It might be boring, but we'll find out. So as everybody knows, there's been a mad dash to get those early beta codes that were handed out to a lot of major gaming outlets, and even KAG managed to get a few to give away, although we got them direct from Bungie. We didn't get them from anybody's PR company, because people just don't give us stuff.
And, no, that's not right. I mean, people give us stuff.
People give us stuff, okay.
The PR company gave me one.
Oh, they did? Okay, but not to give away. I'm talking
not,
about these.
Not to give away, but we do get stuff from that PR company, so let's not...
Okay, all right, fair enough. But not this particular.
No.
Not codes to give away.
Right.
And so there was an interesting article put up by Kyle Orland, who's a freelance game writer, basically saying that he thought that this whole giveaway, early Halo Reach beta code giveaway thing, the fact that they were given away by game writers, or game journalists, as he puts it, basically is somewhat of a conflict of interest. I'm going to read you a little section here. I mean, his main argument is that the company gives away the codes to the journalists. The journalists, now in the journalists' hands to give away the codes, and they see the huge amount of interest from their audience in getting their hands on these codes, in terms of emails to them, tweets to them, I gotta have these codes. Tons of this feedback gets back to them and somehow can distort their view about the game. Okay, he says, but in giving away beta codes, journalists are put directly in touch with the most rabid fans of a game who will be clamoring for those beta keys via email and comments and Twitter replies and all sorts of direct appeals. By making journalists intimately aware with how much their readers want this game, these giveaways can't help but influence the way it gets covered in the future. And if you think a journalist is going to ignore the directly demonstrated passions of their readers, you're nuts.
Well, what... I guess what it comes down to is this. So we're talking, his problem is that the readers are too passionate about this game, so it's going to distort the view of the journalist. That's it in a nutshell?
That was one of his complaints.
So if the game is good, at, you know, the end game, let's say the end game is good, mm-hmm. the end game mm-hmm. of it all in general, I don't mean the actual game itself. This game is good. It's everything that a Halo game should be. You know, take it or leave it. If you love Halo, you will love
this. Okay.
Okay, let's lay it out on the table. That's, as far as I've played, that's the truth. If you love Halo, you will love this. So, how do you distort that? The distortion would be if it was terrible, which it isn't, for what it is. You know, I'm not saying if you hate Halo, this isn't going to convert you. But if you love Halo, you're gonna really enjoy what they've done with it. And everyone I've spoken to has said the same thing. This is great. They've done a great job with what they did with Halo. You know, they've improved a lot of stuff, and they've added things to it. It's what you would hope for with your new Halo. So how is this bad if you're satiating something that your consumers want for something that is as good as expected?
I think what he said, here's another quote, and you can respond to this one. He says, even low-key giveaways carry with them the idea that Halo Reach is a game worth playing. After all, you can't really offer a contest for something without implicitly endorsing it as something that is desirable to win. Is it really possible to enthusiastically push beta access to a game one day, and then credibly critique the game the next?
Well, what's the critique? Well, and he says it himself. It's, what is it?
He's saying that when it comes time to write the review of Halo Reach, that journalists are going to remember how people went crazy over the beta codes, even if it's just subconsciously, and that's going to affect their review of the game.
Who cares?
I don't think so.
Who cares? It's they're writing for their readers anyways. Like, at least any good journalist, like, they know their audience, they know what their readers want, like, what type of things that they read that site or magazine or whatever for, and, like, they're either going to give their opinions on the game, or they're going to also cater to their audience. I just don't see the issue here.
It's the same thing about when a reviewer writes a Zelda review, okay? Like, they know that their readers are passionate about it. even if there's no beta code or any type of giveaway, they know that if they write a shitty review, I mean a review panning the game, that people are going to be furious.
And well, that's, yes, that's true too. But also it goes back to the idea of what is consumer journalism.
Right.
It's the idea of consumer journalism. It's that what they're writing about isn't standard news. It's a niche product, and they're writing about a product. It doesn't matter if they're writing about games or if they're writing about cars or if they're writing about snack chips or fast food. It doesn't matter but they're writing about a product.
Right.
And they're writing about a product that's set to inform those that are enthusiastic about said product, which is why they're coming to that area. They're not writing about the war in Iraq. They're not writing about immigration laws in Arizona.
His concern is that the game writers or the journalists, if you want to call them that, are doing marketing on behalf of PR companies.
But sure, they need to.
Of course, sure, the fact is everything they write is marketing for the PR company. Even if you write a review of a game and you give it a 5 out of 10.
It still gets marketing. The name of that game out there.
It gets the name of the game out there. And if you go back to the PR company and say, I'm going to write this review and it's going to be a 5 out of 10, would you rather not have me publish the review at all or have me write or put this review up as a 5 out of 10? I guarantee you they tell you put the review up as a 5 out of 10.
Anything that is consumer journalism is making the public aware of a product, which mm-hmm. is marketing.
Right. It's a form of marketing.
It is a form of marketing. It's more enthusiast. It is more opinionated. But again, it's just highlighting a product that's out there.
Yeah. Right. I mean,
that's it.
I'm on most PR lists by now. So I get all the press releases. I know exactly what I would say probably 75, maybe that's a lot. I would say at least 50% of the content of all the major news sites is going to be before it's up there, because it's all press releases. It's all marketing, but it's stuff that it is new still for consumer journalism.
And people like reading it. I'm not trying to like slight what any game writer does for a living.
No, because, it's not a slight against what they do, because that's what they should be doing, is informing people who don't have access to these releases about what's going to be happening, because it's going to interest them. That's it. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's definitely honorable, and that's what it is. So I don't see where the element of complaining is.
To me, it sounded like somebody, when I read the article, it sounded like somebody was upset that they didn't get any Halo Reach beta codes to give away.
I don't know about that. I don't know Kyle personally, but I doubt.
I'll tell you from my point of view that when I see these sites giving away the codes, like I see Ben from Ars Technica, who's a nice guy and wrote a very nice article about us on his site. He got a bunch of beta codes to give away, and I watched his Twitter followers jump from like 1,000 to 6,000 or something ridiculous like that. And I was jealous. I was like, what the fuck? Where's my beta codes to give away? I want to get my Twitter followers up there. I'm jealous.
I did it for Yu-Gi-Oh!
Right.
They did theirs through their Twitter because it made sense, and I ran it for them.
Right.
And it was crazy. But what was more crazy were the people who didn't get codes.
People were fine with me, I'll tell you that, because the people on KEG, nobody called me an asshole. Nobody, some people sent me a message saying, hey, hook me up, but nobody was rude when they didn't. I didn't get a single negative message about it.
I bet you, but whatever.
Yeah, I bet a lot of people did. I don't know. I think the point I want to make, and it was certainly a well-written article, and I see where he's coming from, but really let's not delude ourselves and think that 95% of what you see on, on a gaming blog or gaming site isn't marketing on behalf of the company, in some form or another. Every preview, every review is marketing a game to a dedicated audience, to a specific audience.
Yeah, which is fine. We write about and talk about these things because we like video games.
Of course, and we're doing the same thing right now.
Exactly.
So let's just not delude ourselves what we're doing here. I mean, come on.
But how about that Halo Reach beta? Damn, that's good.
I find, I played a fair amount of it. First of all, I'm terrible at it. They changed the game so much that I really just don't feel like I even know what I'm doing. I need to read some sort of tips on it because I just, you know, it seems like grenades are even more important than they were before.
Well, you can't dual wield in this, so
that's why
it's back to the grenade throwing.
But right.
I mean, I'm not very good at it either, but it's just so much fun to play with friends. Like, I hate playing it on my own, like the online multiplayer. Like if I go into team deathmatch or something, that's just no fun whatsoever. But as soon as you get a group of friends together and start playing, it's so good.
The best
been playing Free For All.
Right.
Which is, you know, basically as, you know, solo multiplayer.
Yeah, that's fine. I've
been enjoying that. I actually kind of like, I like Oddball.
Have you ever won a match?
I come in second a lot.
Oh, that's cool. Good for you.
Yeah.
I really like the new system they have where it's just like you're on the main screen and you see what all your friends are doing in the right column. You know, like the friends list integration. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I really
I find I do good in the rounds where I don't like the games where I don't actually have to kill anybody.
Mm-hmm. Stockpile is great.
Stockpile, I do enjoy that also. If I don't have to kill people, I'm fine. I don't get how people could so quickly hit me in the head and kill me in 3 shots.
While they're rocketing up with their jetpack.
And jumping around. Like, I don't understand how people do that. I don't have that skill. Jetpacks and...
It makes me laugh like when they're that good, though. Like, I still find that enjoyable. Like, but,
yeah.
I can't pull that off.
Did you think the graphics are that much better than...
I think the initial, when you first turn it on for the first time, you're like, wow, they've really done a good job. But after a while, you kind of get used to it. And
you don't even notice,
it. Yeah, you don't notice it anymore. So, I did start ODST also.
Great.
Yeah.
It's fun. The single player is fun. It's worth playing through, definitely.
Yeah, I'll do it. I know it's not very long either, so, you know. I started that, and I also started Lost Planet 1.
Great.
Timely.
I am. I'm right on top of things. It is a good game.
Do the explosions still look ridiculous in that game? Like, those were the best explosions I remember.
They fill up the whole screen.
Yeah, they're great explosions. I mean, are we done talking about Halo Reach? Is there anything else we need to really say? I mean, which specialty armor thing do you guys like?
I'm a cloak guy. I like cloaking a lot.
Cloaking? Okay. I've been trying the scout, you know, the running.
Mm-hmm. The scout's good. I like, you know, because there's those two main levels. There's the, you know, the flying, the one that's very vertical.
Open,
I like to use the flying guy.
Right.
And the other one that's more outdoors, I like the shield.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, I want to play more. I haven't been able to play it as much as I wanted to. I want to really, like, play a lot more. But
I like how they start everybody off with pink armor. So you can, it's an instant test of people going in and changing what their outfits look like.
Right.
Because as soon as everybody sees they're pink. Yeah. But
not that it matters if you play with friends, you're either red or blue. Which, by the way, how annoying is it when you're playing Stockpile and you're on the red team and you grab your red flag and they want you to run towards the blue icon?
Some of that stuff could be a lot more clear, like where you're supposed to be going.
Yeah. Or if you're on the red team, your teammates' names show up in blue.
Yeah. Hopefully they'll sort that out, I'm sure.
And that bothers me.
Yes. But so far, so good. And definitely thanks for the codes. Are we supposed to thank somebody specifically for that? I think Hunt the Wumpus, I think. Maybe. Great game on the Texas Instruments 99-4A. Got to say that. Big props.
Yeah, I know his real name for the codes.
Yeah, I don't know if he wants us to.
I don't know if he
out.
Wants that out there. But yes, thank you. We know who you are.
Yeah, you hooked us up. That was very nice of you. I did finish Splinter Cell Conviction since we last spoke. Great game. Definitely recommend that everybody who has even if you didn't like the past Splinter Cell games, I think it's worth checking out. It's really interesting to see how like the series has progressed from basically being pure stealth to now, you know, equal mix of stealth and action. And in fact, there's even a dedicated level where you basically have to just shoot the hell out of everybody, and there's a lot, you know, with a big body count. They did a really nice job with it. The story is actually, you can actually follow the story for the most part. I'd say I understood about 80% of the story, which is pretty high for me for a video game.
Can you gnaw anybody's nuts off?
No nut gnawing. No tearing of the nuts, unfortunately. You can, I'm trying to think. Nah. But you do, it's got a lot of nice kill animations, and when you interrogate people, you know, you can do some really painful looking things to them. And the game ends pretty coolly as well. Like, you know, I don't want to, well, I'll just say you wind up going into the White House at the end, which is pretty neat. And the multiplayer modes are interesting too. There's a pretty cool one that I played a fair amount of. It's a one-on-one versus mode where they put you in on a map with a lot of enemies, and you get 1 point for every enemy you kill. You get, You get 5 points when you kill the other player, and you lose 3 points when you die, which makes it really interesting. It's very different from any other type of multiplayer game that I played before. So Splinter Cell Conviction, definitely worth checking out, especially you, Wombat. I think you would like it, because your complaint is always that with the Splinter Cell games, you don't like playing a game with where everything's green through the night vision.
Yeah,
you don't have that issue here at all.
I know. I definitely want to play it, and I'm sure I will eventually.
Excellent. And Shipwreck, you got to check out Alan Wake.
Yes, I got that. It was waiting for me when I got home from Vancouver, and I've played about an hour of it or so.
Okay.
Pretty good so far. I mean, it's the stuff that they've shown that we saw at E3 last year. So walking around in the woods with the flashlight and lighting people up and then shooting them. Very atmospheric. You can't help but kind of compare it to Heavy Rain a little bit with the kind of cinematic elements.
Oh, really? Okay.
But you can definitely tell it's made by the Max Payne development studio as well. Like, just something about the way he moves and just the atmosphere, I guess, that's around the whole game. Kind of like a Silent Hill game, too. I mean, it's kind of weird that Alan Wake came out, and I guess all the reviews just came out, so maybe people have a better idea of what the game is now, but it's kind of strange that it got this far along and been in development for this long, and nobody really seemed to have a clear idea of what this game was.
I did. I knew exactly what it was. I mean, I haven't read any of the reviews, but I saw it. They showed it off at Tokyo Game Show last year, you know, like behind closed doors.
Mm-hmm.
And they played through it, and you got to see, like, you know, you can tell it's very story-driven, and that it's probably similar to Resident Evil. The combat is probably similar to like a game like Resident Evil, except you could probably move when you shoot.
Yes. You can move while you shoot. You have the flashlight in like your left hand and then your gun in the right hand, at least so far. And the aiming, it doesn't feel all that intuitive, but as long as you have the flashlight shining on whatever you're shooting, that means you're going to hit it with the gun. So it's kind of like you're aiming the flashlight, not the gun.
I'm not going to read any reviews of it. I don't want to read a single. I just saw that it was getting good scores, and I was happy, and that's it.
Yeah, the scores aren't bad. It's right now it's averaging an 84 on the Metacritic.
Right, that's fine for me.
Yeah,
I mean, at that point, I don't care if it gets an 84 or a 95. That means there's really no difference in my eyes. You know, there's plenty of games that have a 95 on there that I think should be nowhere near that. So as long as the game isn't being universally panned, then I'm content.
Yeah, so far it just seems like a really good Silent Hill game, but maybe it changes from that. I don't know, but so far that's what it reminds me of.
Excellent. I have my order in for that as well. So, Sean Upton writes in via Facebook, wanted to know what I thought about the scores they were getting. I'm fine. I like it. As long as it's, you know, positive. Anything for Nintendo?
They have a Black Mii coming out.
I turned my Wii on. I played Mario Brothers.
The original Mario Brothers?
Yes, the original Mario Brothers from back.
Right, from Nintendo.
The original Nintendo Entertainment System Mario Brothers, yep.
Right, and as Shipwreck mentioned, there's a Black Wii coming out that includes both Wii Sports and Wii Sports Resort with the Motion Plus.
You're talking about Super Mario Brothers or Mario Brothers?
Super Mario Brothers, I'm sorry, yes, Super Mario Brothers.
Okay, I knew what you meant.
I'm not very good at that game anymore.
You're not?
No. It was also kind of the middle of the day, and I wasn't really, like, concentrating, but I really didn't get very far.
Right. Before we get to the CAG bag and tweets, I did get my hands on an iPad.
Did it have jalapenos?
No. My friend John brought it. We had a 7th anniversary CAG dinner. Lunch, where I invited the 8-4 crew, and Mark McDonald and John and Justin and Hiroko and Jon Snow, who's not in the 8-4 crew, but he's in the lunch crew, and my wife as well. Anyway, he brought his iPad, and I got to use it. And yeah, it's a big, heavy iPhone without that. You can't make calls with it. I'm not buying one. I've made up my mind. The next version, I'll take a look at it, but to me, it really have no interest in it.
There were a handful of journalists at the Skate 3 event that had iPads.
That brought it with them?
Yeah, they were typing stuff up on them or whatever.
That's lame. Lame. I did see that they released an iPhone iPad app that lets you buy and read Transformers comics.
Okay.
And that, I was like,
Yeah, I have the one for the iPhone of that. They have one for G.I. Joe as well.
I'm not spending $500 just so I can read Transformers comics. It seems a little bit like overkill. Anyway, CAGBag time? Here's a question from Clicksbeef for Shipwreck. I don't even know what he's talking about here, but maybe you do. Have you guys seen Power Gig? If so, do you think it's great or a gimmick?
You don't know what Power Gig is? It's the new guitar controller that a company is putting out that actually has strings.
Oh, right. I did see that. Okay.
Yeah, I saw that at PAX.
Oh, so have you played with it at all? I've never seen it.
No, I wanted to. It wasn't playable.
I don't really know what to say about it then. Like,
right. Okay.
Could be okay.
All right. Good. All
right. Well, yeah. You don't know how to play the guitar, do you? Right.
Very poorly. I can. You know that one little riff in Alanis Morissette's "You Oughta Know." I got that down pat.
I can play the intro to La Bamba.
We should mix that together.
I've been playing the guitar for 17 years.
Wow.
Look at that. I just did the math in my head.
Has it ever gotten you laid?
Maybe.
I don't count drilling a hole in the guitar and having sex with it. That doesn't count.
Hey, I only learned to play the guitar for one reason. And right. it wasn't my love of music.
Yeah, somehow I wound up playing the trumpet, which has never gotten me laid.
Yeah, if I didn't play the guitar, I'd probably still be a virgin. How about that?
Okay. Here's a question from Holmes Sluice. Why does Shipwreck stray from making fun-to-dollar comparisons when he talks about DLC? I feel like I take a lot more consideration in buying a 10-hour game for $60 than, say, a game like Bad Company 2, where I know I'll get many hours of gameplay from the multiplayer aspect. I personally feel the same about DLC. The whole thing feels like a way to get some quick cash. It cannot possibly cost that much money to produce more contents, seeing how they already have the engine that produced the game. And then I also feel that these companies may have already made the content and just sell it later. In fact, it's very likely. Then he goes on to complain about the prices of the DLC. There's very little DLC that I've seen come out that I said, wow, that looks like a good deal. Well, wow, I need to buy that.
I'm confused at
you, why you're called
why
out.
Why I'm straying from making a fun-to-dollar comparison about DLC. I don't know what he's talking about there, but...
Well, we all know that 5 megabits of fun equals $1.
Right.
So how many megabits of fun do you get from your DLC? And then you do the conversion. I think you could put that formula on an Excel spreadsheet as well.
I can. I can do that for him. Is that what he's asking for?
I don't know.
I believe that's what it is. It's the number times the price divided by
the thousand.
Oh,
I'll just write up a macro for it and send him to him then. I mean, I can do that. That's no problem. But, yeah, DLC. It should all be free. How about that?
I really like what EA has done with the VIP code type situation, except they even managed to screw that up because they're coming out with paid DLC on top of that. Like, I feel like it's perfectly reasonable for them to say, if you buy a game for $60, you know, brand new, that we're going to give you access to DLC for free. But that should, all the DLC should be free.
It just depends on how they budgeted it in the first place, though. I mean, if they set aside a budget to make DLC, and that's a different budget than what's on the game, which a bunch of these companies...
But that's not really my problem, how they budget their product development.
Well, I know it's not, but I don't have a problem with them charging us for DLC if it's worth it.
Yeah, I haven't found many that's worth it. I guess that's my problem.
Well, that is the problem. That's the rub now, like, isn't it?
Even it's Mass not Effect the, 2. Not... Let me ask you a question. Here's a question for you guys. Mass Effect 2, we all played it, finished it, loved it, correct?
Yes. Right?
Okay. Yes. How much of the DLC have you bought?
None of it. But we did all play the Kenoki Stolen Memories, right?
Isn't that, nope.
Wasn't
it? I
did. Yeah.
But you got it for free?
Yes.
Would you have bought it if you didn't get it for free?
I would have considered it, but having played it, I don't feel like I missed anything.
Right. That's my point. Is it?
Yeah. No. I'm not disagreeing with you.
Yeah. I know. I mean, there are exceptions to the rule, of course, but
I think that the Zombie Island of Dr. Ned for Borderlands is pretty cool.
Okay. Yeah, that one's good.
I bought that for $5 when it was the deal of the week, and I don't regret it.
All right. Let's see. Let's move on.
Did you get the Just Cause 2, like the $2 add-on?
You know, it was so cheap that I might get that. $2, like, I could go for $2, maybe, for a game like that. But I haven't done it yet.
It seemed kind of fun. It kind of seemed like the Crackdown add-ons that they had, where they just kept on giving you more crazy stuff.
Keys to the City was part of the free download, but I did get all that stuff for Crackdown when that came out, all that day.
Yeah. Me too. Boy, did you? Did you get the Just Cause stuff?
No, I have not. No. I was curious to see if either one of you had tried it yet.
I thought about it, and then I started two other games. So
yeah, that's the problem.
I almost want to support it, though, just because it's $2. Like,
yeah, me. I was thinking that.
But maybe it's all you get is three weapons. It's not like you get...
I know.
Well, you get something for your parachute. Yeah.
Yeah.
It could be
like
pretty
rockets
big.
Or like whatever.
No, you get like a jetpack for your parachute.
Yeah, jetpack type thing.
I have like 4,000 Microsoft points in my account, so maybe I'll spend some of those on that. Let's see. Red Tank wants to know what we think about EGM sending out subscription emails to the same former customers who got screwed when they folded the first time. I had 2 years left on my subscription when they ceased publishing. They switched me over to Maxim without asking. I canceled that subscription and never received a promised refund for the balance they owed me. So I guess they're farming for their customers based on the old mailing list, even though... And then I guess you would have to pay for a whole new subscription because it's owned by somebody else.
Yeah, well, I mean, Red Tank, what you need to understand is that it's a different company. That's
right,
like
not much
it's,
they can
it's
do
like
about it.
Yeah, you're complaining that McDonald's screwed you and now you're upset that Burger King is selling a hamburger.
Right, just the same name. They just share the name.
Yeah.
They bought the name. So yeah, I don't know what you can do about it. I mean, you can't really expect them to like give you money that they didn't get in the first place. But I could see why that would be frustrating.
I've made a lot of fast food metaphors on this show, by the way.
Right. How's that diet gone?
I had a spinach salad with grilled chicken for lunch the other day.
Ooh.
And lobster is very healthy.
Yes.
We got for my birthday at Lobster Fest. That's what I asked for my birthday. At my parents' house. We got 3 6-pound lobsters.
Yep. That's good.
That is good. That's 18 pounds of lobster meat.
That will be happening at E3, I'll tell you that.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And then
you
just dip it in so much butter, just all of that butter.
I don't use butter with my lobster. I find it's not good for the... It distorts the flavor of the lobster.
Oh, look at you. You're a connoisseur. Whoa.
Whoa, what was that?
That was a door slamming.
Popping the champagne.
Yeah. Whoa, talk about lobster. Look what happens. Yeah, no, it was good, too. And we had a good amount left over. I made some lobster salad that lasted me 2 days after Lobster Fest, so...
That is pretty good. Let's do some more questions here. Here's a question for you, Wombat, from MSU Hitman and Shipwreck, perhaps. Do you think Disney is going to try to completely turn Marvel into another kiddie's paradise, just like their other properties, as they have canceled the Wolverine and X-Men and Spectacular Spider-Man cartoons? In their place will be a new Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon that is supposed to be super kiddie campy show, similar to Batman Brave and the Bold.
Here's what I have to say to you, MSU Hitman. No, I don't think Disney's going to distort Marvel, because I don't think Disney is a stupid company. There's a reason why they're Disney.
There's another door slamming.
Nice. And there's a reason why they're canceling Wolverine and the X-Men. It was awful. It deserves to be canceled.
Yeah, that was bad. Yeah.
Spectacular Spider-Man
was okay.
It was okay, but it wasn't really good.
That theme song, that gets in your head.
Yeah, I didn't like the animation on it too much. There's something about it that bothers me. It doesn't bother me as much as that Iron Man cartoon where Iron Man's a teenager, but it still kind of bothers me. Batman Brave and the Bold, on the other hand, is great. Have you ever watched that? It's hysterical. Mm-mm. If you know the comics,
yeah.
If you know the comics, it's really funny because it doesn't really have much to do with the comics at all, but it makes allusions to some B characters and misplaced storylines and a lot of references to 50s and 60s Batman stuff that you never hear of ever. So it's really worth watching just for the inside jokes. And the all-musical episode with Neil Patrick Harris is quite good also. So I hope that Disney watches Batman the Brave and the Bold and goes, hey, we should be making something that's fun and entertaining for people of all ages. I don't think there's a problem with that when it comes to cartoon and animated programs that are shown during the day. In fact, if anything, it helps strengthen the property that is Spider-Man, because right now the property that is Spider-Man is not that strong, at least not as strong as it should be. The last few games that have come out for Spider-Man have been terrible. The last few cartoons have not been that successful. The third movie was shit, and Brand New Day angered a lot of fans. Spider-Man needs a makeover. Right now, if you see things that are Marvel on a lot of crap, you see Iron Man standing in front, not Spider-Man. If you had asked me 6 years ago if I ever thought that Iron Man would be more popular than Spider-Man, I would have told you you were an insane, crazy person and to stop bothering me. But that is not true anymore. So there you go. Spider-Man needs help.
All right. That was pretty insightful.
Thanks.
Let's see. Some other questions here. Blackout wants to know if I get a lot of lag playing online with people in America because I live in Japan. No, I do not. His friend does, but his friend may have a shitty internet connection. Mine's pretty good. Droog says, Chibi, you've been talking about 3D TVs for a while now and seem to be completely uninterested, but you always forget one thing, porn. Trust me, if there's one thing I don't forget is porn. You claimed your distaste for the idea of HD porn, but what about the idea of that woman's vagina just inches away from your face? Don't forget that penis is going to be inches away from your face as well.
It's going to have more of a 3D effect on that penis, I think.
Right. The vagina is pretty, you know, two-dimensional.
Vagina is depth. Penis is extension.
Right. I don't know about that, dude. I don't know.
I see you on your couch dodging back and forth.
Yeah, I don't need fancy porn. Like, I don't need interactive porn. I don't need anything really except a video, even like the shittiest quality video of people having sex. That's all I need, and I'm not going to spend like a day of it. You know, I'll take 2 minutes, 3 minutes, and do my thing, and I'm done. Go on with my day. I don't need
some cereal.
Yeah, I don't need to wear glasses to watch porn. I don't need HD porn. You know what? I actually went and got some more HD porn just to see if I was wrong about anything. And it's a waste of time. Total waste of time. Let's see what else.
Good job on the due diligence, though, there.
Oh, yeah. I did a lot of research to make sure. I need to, I don't know.
I think we've hit the wall.
We've hit the wall. Should we go back and talk more about the iPhone app?
No, we're not talking about your iPhone app anymore.
Good. We should probably never speak of it again.
No, we're never speaking of it until you would know more. We will not. We're tabling it until next week.
Okay. In that case, let us thank our friends at GoDaddy.com, who provide us with these wonderful coupon codes for discounts on web hosting and domain registrations. Coupon code CAG10 will get you 10% off any order. CAG5 off 30 will get you $5 off a $30 order, and coupon code CAGDOMAIN will get you $6.95 domain registrations. I also want to remind everybody to review us on iTunes, please. It helps us a lot with our ranking on iTunes. We need you to review us. Also, follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/cheapyd, twitter.com/wombat5277, and twitter.com/shipwreck. If you want video game deals, just use twitter.com/video game deals. And if you're in the UK, it's UK game deals.
And don't forget to check us out on MySpace. MySpace.
No, no, we don't do MySpace anymore. I'm erasing that. That's been a legacy on the outline for a long time.
I know, that's why I'm laughing.
I also have plug CAG foreplay here. I will erase that as well. See? We're good to go. Yeah. So thanks for listening, everybody. We appreciate your support. And we will catch you next time.
Astrocade, the professional video game system that gives you four-player capability, three built-in games, a calculator, and these new cartridges. Creative Crayon. Even the young can make beautiful pictures. The Incredible Wizard has a dungeon of surprises for you. You can even create your own games with Astrocade Basic, the easy computer teaching cartridge. Astrocade, the home entertainment sensation that's a personal computer, too.